The moment you lose your temper, or the moment you are angry with someone, we want to retaliate, and things come out of our mouth that we don't even imagine they came out. It's sad because the words that come out of our mouth are offensive, they're destructive, and they're damaging to people's lives and to people's characters.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Ries in Diamond Bar, California. As a pastor and teacher, Raul understands the power of words to build others up. Once a verbally abusive, rage-filled young man, Raul now focuses on encouraging others in Christ's love. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for inspiration from Raul's testimony or for your own free DVD, call 800-634-9165. Today in our continuing faith series, we'll take a convicting look at how the words that come out of our mouths reflect the attitudes of our hearts. Pointing to the damaging false accusations the Pharisees routinely hurled at Jesus, Raul will urge us to be more careful about the things we say. We'll be urged to consider whether our words are most often apt to uplift or cause destruction. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 for the lesson, Biblical Speech. Here's Raul Ries.
This morning, we're going to be dealing with a topic that I think is one of difficulty, but it's needed today, especially in the church. And that is, we're going to be dealing with a text which we call biblical speech. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been not only healing people by doing his miracles and his wonders, but there seems to be a contradiction among the Pharisees and the scribes that have come against him, as one that was demon-possessed and he was blind and he was mute. And Jesus healed him, and the multitudes were really amazed at what had happened. And some of them began to say, well, could this be the son of David? But then the Pharisees, when they heard it, they began to say this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. They began to literally say that Jesus was Satan himself, that he was the devil. I think that one of the things that we have to really be careful with is with words that we actually commit ourselves to speaking daily. And the reason I say that is because as you read the rest of the lesson, he's talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that they were getting so close to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because of the words, because of what they were saying about Jesus. But then, as you go further in verse 33 of chapter 12, he says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else you make the tree bad and its fruit is bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Brother of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. And an evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36 and 37 are the key verses. Listen to what he says. But I say unto you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Now, I've studied this passage many, many times, and it's always bothered me when I read it, because he is really bringing not only a warning, but exhortation to what we say and the way we use our mouth. Have you ever wondered how many people, you and myself, have literally offended or destroyed by our words? Think about it for a moment. Words can either build up or tear down a person's life. either build up or tear down a person's life. I think of all the people that have had their reputation destroyed because of people's lies. I think we have to be very careful what we say and who we talk about. You see, in this study here, Jesus is giving us the warning that we have to be careful because we are going to be judged one day for the words that we speak. Jesus had just finished not only reprimanding the Pharisees and warning them that they were getting close because of what they were saying, that they were getting close to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, of course, begins to share about fruit. Good tree, bad tree. Good fruit, bad fruit. I think that this is an area that every one of us constantly are struggling with. Every day of our lives, we struggle. Somebody cuts you off in the freeway, what's the first thing you say out of your mouth? We can associate with that. Because the moment you lose your temper, or the moment you are angry with someone, we want to retaliate, and things come out of our mouth that we don't even imagine they came out. And it's sad because the words that come out of our mouth are offensive, they're destructive, and they're damaging to people's lives and to people's characters. It's not surprising that we hear so many times people not only cursing other people, but one of the things that I feel that we have to really be careful with is that we have little ones, and if you have little ones, so you have your sons or daughters that are teenagers, they're hearing what you say. You're teaching them. You're the example. With our mouths, we can bless, we can curse, we can give thanks, and then we can offend. No wonder the Proverbs 13:13 says this. He says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And then again, Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You think of all the people that have been destroyed by words that have come out of somebody's mouth. Oh, it's okay, you go back and you try to repent, but you already have said it. You already made the damage. You already have said what you really meant. You can't get out of it. They'll forgive you, but they're hurt. The hurt is there deeply. This is why James, the brother of Jesus, said in James 1:26, he says, if anyone among you thinks to be religious and does not bring his tongue into subjection, he's only deceiving his own heart, and his religion is useless. Useless. How can you say you love God, but at the same time, you're cursing your neighbor? It's an impossibility that James talks about. If you have a Bible, turn to James chapter 3, beginning with verse 2. James chapter 3. Listen to what the brother of Jesus says about the tongue. He says, for we all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we can put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body around. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are all turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires to turn. Even so, the tongue is such a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Can you believe that? We can tame just about an elephant. A tiger, a lion, a monkey, a dog. But he says, all these can be trained, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and notice, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things are not to be so if you're a Christian. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. We can't do that. We have to be careful what we say. I think it's important that we understand the Word of God and we stick to the Word of God in what He says. Why? Because we as parents have a great responsibility to teach by example our children, to teach them to be polite and to speak words that are building up and not tearing down people. And when they hear the conversation between a mother and father in the kitchen and the mother is tearing down their neighbor or maybe their grandma or grandpa or whoever it may be, the children pick up on that. And then they too begin to tear down on their friends and other people. We have to, as parents, set the temperature and the example within our homes. May God help us to do that. God wants us to obey His word. You know, Jesus gave a great warning in Matthew 18. If you have your Bible, turn to there. Matthew 18, verse 6 through 9. He had just been speaking to children, and the disciples had a little bit of problem with the children coming to Jesus. And so Jesus thought this is the great opportunity to teach everyone to be careful how you deal with children, not to offend children. He says in verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him that a millstone would be hung around his neck. The millstone that Jesus is talking about, in Israel, they weigh about 300 to 400 pounds. And sometimes even more. Notice what he says. He says, and that we're drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes from. And then he talks about the hand or the eye, if it offends you to cut your hand off or to pluck your eye out. Not literally, but he's talking about getting rid of the sin or the offense. It's better to get rid of the offense than to sit there and offend people. And of course, he's talking here about little children. It's in reference not only to little children, but also to those that are believers, young believers, offending them, drawing them away from Christ. We have to be so careful the way we share with people and the things we tell people. Because otherwise, we're going to be accountable. Now, what does the Bible teach about the tongue biblically? Well, first of all, the Bible warns us that we have to be careful not to have a backbiting tongue. A backbiting tongue. Proverbs 25:23 says this. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue on an angry countenance. We have to be careful never to backbite anyone. And yet we have. What is backbiting? When you're talking behind somebody's back. When they're not there. You talk about them to somebody else and you're actually defaming them. You don't know all the facts, or you may have all the facts. You have no reason to talk to somebody else, somebody that's entrusted to you, when they talk to you in confidence, or if you're angry or mad and you're talking against somebody by breaking down their character, it's not right. That is backbiting. We have to be careful. Secondly, the Bible warns us about having a lying tongue, not speaking the truth. In Proverbs 21:6, he says, you're getting treasures by a lying tongue. It is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek to die. It's not good. You can't use a deceitful or lying tongue. And then thirdly, the proverb says that the Bible warns us about having a flattering tongue. Proverbs 6:24 says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, the way she seduces these young people in the Proverbs. And then the Bible warns us about having a deceitful tongue, that is, using deceit to lie to somebody. In Micah 6:12, he says, for her rich men are full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. They speak lies. They use deceit. How should we use our tongues? Well, I think, first of all, the way that we should use our tongues is speaking of God's righteousness. In Psalm 35:28, it says, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Secondly, we should use it by speaking wisdom, not foolishness. Psalm 37:30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks justice. And then, for sure, we should use our tongue to sing songs unto the Lord, to sing praises unto God. Psalm 126:2 says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, that they said among the nations, the Lord has done a great thing for all of them, singing unto the Lord. And then we should use it for what? For speaking kindness to people. Speaking, being kind to one another. In Proverbs 31:26, he says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Being kind to one another, being kind to your neighbor, being kind to your loved one, being kind to your children in every way. You see, kindness turns away wrath. When somebody's angry with you and you try to retaliate back by the same tone of voice, then you have a fight. But what most people hate is when somebody is defaming or angry at you and you come back with love, man, it messes them up. It really does. They can't understand that. I mean, here I am tearing you down. How can you come back with love? Because Christ was the same way. Remember when Jesus was being torn down and they were actually cursing him and spitting on him? And calling him all kinds of names. He did not retaliate. He could have. He said when he was on the cross, there were actually these 12 legions of angels ready to come and wipe out every one of those people. But what did he say? He held them back. He never cursed anybody back. He built up with words. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Notice that. And that blew people away at the cross. How can he say that? But he's our example when it comes to the tongue. We look at Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. I find Paul the Apostle kind of interesting as in the book of Romans. Why don't you turn to Romans for 1 second? When he gives a description of the sinful person of his time, he really shows us what the inside is made of. In chapter 3 of Romans, beginning with verse 9, listen to what he says. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jew and Greek that they are all under sin, as it is written. There is no one righteous, no, not one. There is not one that understands. There is not one that seeks after God. They all have gone their own way. They have altogether become unprofitable. That speaks of rotten apples or rotten fruit. There is none that does good, no, not one. Notice, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue they have practiced deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness, and their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear before God in their eyes. Speaking of their mouth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle really sums it up very well here in his letter. Beginning about verse 20. He's speaking about the new man, what we are to be like. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have so learned him, you've been taught by him as to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. That is, that you put off concerning the former conduct or manner of life, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man he has created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him work, laboring with his hands, which is good, that he may have something to give to those that are in need. And then again, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Why? Because if you don't, this is what happens. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. That is, if we don't say what Christ says, then we grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we're cursing people and we're saying things that are not right. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And here it is, and be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Wow.
Today's lesson has provided a helpful reminder that putting our faith into action can be as simple and practical as watching our words. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's message is a continuation of our series on faith. You can get a copy of the lesson, Biblical Speech, for a donation of $5 or more. To receive your copy, call 800-634-9165. And as you consider the potential impact of the things you say, we'd like to offer you Raul's audio series titled Men of Faith. It's a resource that provides more guidance for a God-honoring life. This 9-lesson study pinpoints how walking by faith differs from being led by feelings and explores the spiritual legacies of men like Noah and Enoch, who humbly followed the Lord in absolute trust. Men who desire to lead their family as the spiritual head of the home will also find biblical instruction from these lessons. Contact us to order Rawls' 9-message audio pack titled Men of Faith. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you this entire collection for a gift of $24 or more. Once again, the phone number is 800-634-9165. To order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to take advantage of all of our free Bible-based resources. Our newest one is a weekly Q&A program airing on Raul's YouTube channel. Straight Talk provides biblical perspectives on current world issues, and you won't want to miss out on it. Join Raul on YouTube every Tuesday at noon, West Coast time. You can also download the Somebody Loves You radio programs as podcasts through Spotify and iTunes, and download our app to your iPhone or Android. And if you haven't already, be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Well, in this year of massive upheaval, we're asking for God's wisdom in making this ministry an even more valuable source of support for you. We welcome your ideas and feedback. When you contact us, be sure to share your prayer request as well, and we'll lift those up before the Lord. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the support of listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep these broadcasts on the air. On tomorrow's program, we'll explore how Job endured tragic faith challenges with his love for the Lord intact, and find more reasons to trust God's goodness, even when we're under spiritual attack. Here's Raul now, once again, with the closing comment.
Now, chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18. He says, and do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here it is, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. And notice again, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I like that. God not only has given you a tongue to speak kindness, but he's giving you a tongue to confess Christ, to confess him as your Lord and your Savior. But he also has given you a tongue to confess your sins in his presence. If you have sinned against God by talking about somebody, you've been backbiting a person or defaming them or spreading gossip about them, you need to repent before the Lord. You need to confess before God that you have had a problem with your mouth. And listen, 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.